And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces with Walt Ruble and Peter Goodman. And for the next 40 minutes, Brian Cox and Mike O'Leary.
Thanks for inviting us in. It's great to be with the Godfather Peter and his capo, Walt. I mean, this is awesome. The KTAL group here.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed hearing you guys do the radio show, you know, Sports, Mesilla Valley Sports, Thursday mornings. So, I normally kind of tell people about you, but I'll do it your way this time. You ask folks, what should people know about you? So what should the listeners, we'll start with you, Mike, what should the listeners know about you?
Well, I do have a lengthy background in sports. I was an athletic trainer by profession, started in high school, and so I've been around practices and games since 1973. retired now, but when you and I talked about potentially doing this show, it was my familiarity with sports and some of the connections I've made in the Mesilla Valley in the last 35 years that prompted me to go ahead with it.
And did you think right away of Brian as a possible
co-host?
Actually,
I did. Yeah. And Brian can tell you why.
Well, you never did tell me why.
You have radio experience.
Okay, yeah.
And I've known you for
a long time.
35 years.
Yeah, for me, I'm the kid that was born and raised in Las Cruces, grew up off Picacho Street. My hangout was Tommy's Roller Rink and the Piggly Wiggly, if you remember that. And it was right there. I used to swim in labs, sometimes swim in the ditch when you didn't have the money.
Yep.
But for me, growing up in this town and knowing a lot of people and when Mike gave me the call, I'm like, wow, I would love to get back in it.
Yeah.
Because I did a radio show for like 5 to 6 years, Titletown Talk Show.
Okay.
And I had to walk away. I didn't have to.
So same kind of
concept. I chose. Absolutely. I chose. Yeah. But I did not want to miss my kids' stuff.
Yes. Mm.
And that was the thing. You know, 4 hours or 3 hours on Saturday, I was going to miss a lot of their stuff.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
Three hours. Yeah. 3 hours on one show.
That was
3 hour show.
That's a lot.
Well, we do 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're getting there. But tell folks how you met long before the show was ever.
Well, I was a little bit wet behind the ears showing up as a freshman at New Mexico State.
Yeah, I was the assistant athletic trainer working football.
You were walk-on?
I was a walk-on.
And what was your position?
Receiver. And, you know, I came out of Mayfield, and I don't think we met right away. I think it was more right when camp started.
Yeah.
Because I was able to go in and start lifting weights the day after graduation. So, but no, that's how we ended up meeting.
In our old weight room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Old weight room, which is now the women's soccer locker room.
Yeah. It's much
smaller. Many years earlier when we played touch football with Mark Medoff and them, I used to have the privilege of covering some of the Aggie wide receivers who played touch football with us.
Was it touch or eventually got rough, I'm sure.
No. But it was certainly a challenge.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But,
so you guys had a moment recently and I'm sure you'll remember, as you were talking with Mary Henson and her daughter, and they were discussing the fact that the floor had been damaged, the basketball court had been damaged. And Mike immediately jumps in and says something, but that time when the floor was injured. And Brian, without missing a beat, jumps in and says, well, that's the trainer talking. And I thought right then, well, okay, they're developing some chemistry here. This thing's starting to work.
Did I say trainer or athletic trainer?
Probably athletic trainer.
Because if you say trainer, that really gets under their skin. Because are they a horse
trainer?
I'm
sure that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And the person that cured me of that. With a pinch on the ear.
I know who it was. It had to be Darryl Wooten.
No.
No?
Tim Doc Ackland.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yes, the man himself. Yeah. He was my athletic trainer at Mayfield. And if you said something, it was old school. Usually it was a pinch.
Yeah.
He was notorious for his pinch.
Yeah.
But I never
got
made
your
that
attention.
I'll do it facetiously every once in a while.
But. When I arrived in Las Cruces, we had an incredible setup at the high schools, only two high schools at that time. But we had very well established athletic trainers. We had, as we grew and increased the number of schools, we had athletic trainers at every high school.
And what year did you start?
I got here in 89, in late July of 89. I had finished my grad school and was a poor grad student. Borrowed a pickup truck with all of my earthly belongings, drove from Flagstaff to here. found out they may not be able to hire me.
Yeah, and here you are.
It sounds like New Mexico State, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, the football had yeah. announced a hiring before HR had actually approved it, and so I was the next hire, and so my hire was scrutinized. Let's say, just say that. And so I'm here for a couple of weeks not knowing if I'm staying or not.
Wow. I didn't know that story, Mike.
Yeah. I had my stuff stowed in an office in the field house, and I did get two roommates, assistant at sports info director Brian McCann, and I at the time had to be the youngest offensive coordinator in Division I, and that was Glenn Watson. This was Mike Knoll's last year in football, and Glenn had been a quarterback coach or a wide receiver coach, and now was the offensive coordinator. But they were my first two roommates here.
And was that in a dorm or was?
No, we had a house up off of the planet. We were on Jupiter, Saturn, all those up there.
Yeah.
Okay. We were renting a house from a former women's basketball coach, I think. No, maybe men's.
Okay.
And
no,
you were married at the time, right?
Oh, no.
No,
I met my wife here.
Oh, okay.
I met my wife here.
So I'm delighted with how you guys have taken it and run with it in the last year and a half. We wanted to do a local sports show, and you guys do it wonderfully. For you, what are some of the more memorable moments in the last year and a half on radio?
Well, let me back up for a second and just say it would have been easy. It's a slam dunk for me to get some of the NMSU people and the people I know really well. But I really, really wanted to shine a light on have this show shine a light on people that don't get.
Community.
We've had a lot of people that have never been interviewed before and tell stories. And some of the stories have caught me by surprise. When Molly Kaiser was here, she talked about immigrating from Africa to Houston and, you know, not having any idea. She started playing basketball because there was a court across the street in a park and with her older uncles or something. And then, we had some good ones. What's his name, the baseball player that had the gear?
Oh, I can't remember his name, but talked about how he was up in Farmington and he got sick and had
basically woke up paralyzed.
Yeah, woke up paralyzed.
He's, summer league getting ready to go to Adams State.
Or, you know, kids that are boxers that are overweight and had a special needs brother that he had to take care of and virtually fend for himself.
Yeah,
watch his father pass
get
away.
Shot and killed.
And, you know, working to get his degree, or did he get his degree?
He got his degree.
He got his degree.
Yeah.
And it just, those stories, and what I like about it, it's just not sports. It's inclusive activities.
Yeah.
Well, one of the great examples of that you just did was Everybody Rides with Grace.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I came in at the end of that show, and it was such a joyous, everybody was just so happy. And so,
I'd wanted to do that one for a while because I'd heard that story, and we've had a couple people in the bicycle community on before. And it just perfect timing that I try to time them over around events sometimes. And the last Saturday was the parade, and it was fun. I knew it would be fun.
For people not familiar, can you just talk about a little
sure?
Bit
Grace
about...
Grace Holguin was born with Down syndrome and first child of her mom and dad. And growing up, she really wanted to kind of be like all the other kids. She had two younger siblings, and she told her parents that she wanted a bike. They were able to get some funds for a three-wheel bike. They had it. It was joyful for her, and then it got stolen. She made connections with the marshal. They went out looking for it. They went out raising money for it. They found the bike. They had this extra money, and he said, keep it and pay it forward. And then they started a program where kids that have disabilities get to integrate and do other sports and activities that other kids, the kids without disabilities get to do. And it was fun.
And I just say community radio. That's what we're here for. Is
absolutely,
those kind of stories.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many. You know, I've heard so often. There's nothing to do in this town.
My pet peeve, Mike. You hit it.
And I have found so many things. I mean, we've got all these programs for kids. We've got a lot of facilities people don't know about. You know, we got dogs running off platforms at a dog diving facility.
Yes.
we got pro pickleball team. Right. We have a pro pickleball team in Las Cruces.
I play pickleball, and I didn't even know that. Yeah, but right. Yeah. Nobody was going to want me for the pros. So.
Well, it's semi-pro, but it's
interesting though.
It's a segue into pro levels. Yeah. The pro levels.
I think the only
closed.
Complaint though people have valid is there's not a bowling alley.
Yes.
Yeah. Working. Yet.
And we know that, what's his name?
Kevin McGrath.
Kevin McGrath, thank you.
Yeah, we've been in discussion, and things have not gone as quickly as he'd hoped. So when things get rolling, we will have him on. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it is. I remember we had the bowling alley. We had a putt-putt course. We had a lot of little things for kids, and some have come and gone and all. But there are, if you're looking for things to keep your youngster engaged. And I just grew up in sports. I love sports. Mm-hmm. I became an athletic trainer because I liked helping people, and I love sports. And it was a great combination of the two. But I've seen time and time again the benefits of athletics and sports and organized sports and just, you know, so many positive things.
Well, you're involved in organized athletics, so I guess I can guess the answer to this question. But one of the things that people always say, and if you look back, as I have for fictional research purposes, people have always said in every generation, when I was a kid, we were so much freer.
Oh, yeah.
And now kids are, everything's so much regimented.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, you know, I played on a sand lot where the home plate was a rock. I guess it was the top of a huge rock.
Right.
And it wasn't shaped right or anything else, but it was in the right place.
Yeah, and if it went in the neighbor's yard, it was a foul ball or something.
Yeah, vantage point, both of you, better or worse, you know, is that an improvement or the reverse or a little of each in different ways that we move from constant, you know, now if I were playing baseball, you know, there'd be six of you guys standing there making sure I didn't, you know, do the wrong thing.
That's kind of tough. I mean, we hold.
Oh, sorry to ask a tough question.
Well, I mean, we hold our memories special.
Right,
to us
that's
and
right.
Back then,
that's
and,
exactly right.
And I think it's actually gotten better, as long as people kind of realize and don't go overboard. When you go overboard, that's a catch. I mean, I think you look at when we were growing up, how much was in women's sports.
Oh,
Title IX has come along and has
improved.
Given that an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And it trickles down now where you have the NIL. I don't think it's good at whatsoever, but now it looks like it's going to hit the high school level and transfers and that.
Yeah.
So but overall, I think it's good because as you're able to really develop what you want to do and do it good. The bad part is that
you don't get
it's
to be
not
a kid.
Inclusive anymore as much as it used to be.
That's the biggest part.
You've got these elite teams that a kid that just wants to be on the team and play sits on the bench and never gets a chance. I want to make an observation I had during COVID. COVID was horrible. I was in Oregon Mountain High School when, it was Oñate at the time, when they made the announcement on, was this Friday the 13th? Whatever day it was, the day after the NBA game that got canceled.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And when the governor made her announcement?
Yeah, and
March 17th.
17th, not 13th.
3 p.m. Yeah. The reason I know that, it's my store anniversary.
And
I'm sitting at
and we were supposed to be doing a, what's that annual thing we do, Jeffrey Madison Days?
Oh, yeah, right.
The announcement came when there was scheduled.
Sunshine Week.
Yeah. But those kids are walking around like zombies. So I'm sitting in the athletic training room at the high school, and they don't, what do we do? You know, the basketball team's still playing, and all the spring sports are going, I don't know what to do. But a couple weeks later, all the kids in our neighborhood were out playing, out in the street. Mm-hmm. We have a cul-de-sac, and it was so heartwarming to see, because before that and afterwards, they're not.
Yeah,
they're all doing their things.
Yeah, that
but
was
kids were being kids, and that was the only positive I got out of COVID.
It's kind of like a snow day for that first day.
Yeah. But, as athletic trainers, we just talk till we're blue in the face about specialization at a young age, and it's just not a good thing.
Yes. Right.
Every big-time, really successful athlete, if you ask them, they played a bunch of sports growing up. And everybody thinks my kid's going to be a pro or get a college scholarship. And so at 8 years old, they can't play any other sport. And that's really wrong. It's a disservice to the kid in many ways, but physically it's a disservice. They overtrain. Baseball all year is not healthy.
Well, example for me any in sport. That scenario, my daughter in high school, she did soccer, softball, and then track eventually. And I really
Cox family quick.
softball fanatic. I wanted my daughter to play college softball. I'll admit it, but she got fed the soccer way.
Yeah,
and she went towards soccer.
Yeah,
and because she had those options, she found what she wanted, that's not what I wanted to put down her throat. Because I knew nothing about soccer, and she ended up playing soccer in college.
Yeah.
Well, she left. She left softball because track was at, and she ran track for 2 to 3 years. So it's about having options and let them choose their path, but put the opportunity in front of them.
Yeah. Kids getting exposed to a lot of sports early is just a great thing, and you get the soccer and
it translates to other sports.
Yeah, and gymnastics family, really there's so much carryover in all sports. Yeah.
I'm curious how you guys feel about what I think. When looking back on it now, clearly maybe the darkest day in local sports history was when they opened the fourth high school and the Mayfield-Crucis rivalry was no more. I mean, I just remember that when I first moved here, that was everything. Yeah. I remember Steve Ramirez, the reporter, say, if you want to understand this town, you have to go to that football game.
Yeah.
And when I moved here, I think Mayfield was in its first year.
Well, 74, 71, yeah, right away.
And I spent, you know, one half.
I guess
the
I'm wrong
because
I moved here in '69,
so 68.
Well, I loved. They played at Aggie Stadium, so we were part of that. We helped facilitate some of that. Yeah. We gave, you know, the locker rooms and the athletic training facility and those sort of things. We gave to them, basically kicked our team out.
Well, and they drew
and
a bigger crowd.
It was
the Yankees did.
We had to practice down in another part of campus,
right,
on the intramural fields,
right,
and that happened often actually in the '90s for concerts and other reasons,
right.
But when the Fulton was built, I had a bird's eye view of watching the preparation of those things and watching both sides, you know, split right down the middle. You're on the east side or you're on the west side, and the kids coming in and parents and decorating and the energy. And and I would just, you know, I had some carte blanche so I could get in there, and I walked down the ramp, you know, and just kind of experience it right on the sideline. And it was really special. Really was.
I remember I went to a comedy night, and there was this young lady who had grown up in Las Cruces, went to Los Angeles to try to start her career, and you know, she was coming back doing a show here. And one of the jokes that she made that I just never forgot was, nobody in Los Angeles cares about anything as much as you guys care about that stupid football game, right?
Well, top three on USA Today rivalries it was in its heyday. Yeah. I mean, I got to play in the Mayfield-Crucis game. My brother, Michael, played in that. My other brother, Troy, was in the band. I mean, this is
so
when you were growing up.
How did it feel playing in the game?
It was amazing.
It was special.
When there's 18 to 24,000 there every year, whether it meant something or not, and I think the pinnacle of it. Is that a word for me? Yeah, I don't know.
Pinnacle.
It's the top.
Okay, doesn't have a T
sure.
In
I'm
it.
A sports guy, you know. But in, 2001, when Mayfield-Crucis faced off, sold out. Yeah, 30,800.
Was that the state championship?
That was the state championship.
Yeah.
And we all knew when the other school came along that this was going to be the demise.
I know.
Yeah. But we tried to put it off, and you know, I wanted the same memory for my son. It really wasn't the same.
Yeah.
And he ended up in the COVID mess as well. Right. But yeah, it's tough. But, you know, what do they say? It's you know, it's a politician word for growth. You know, it's going to happen, but it's tough. It really is. And I'm excited to see what it's going to become within 10 years. I think there's going to be some really great rivalries back again.
Speaking of growth, human growth, and probably not a question you've talked about much on your show, but I practiced law with people who were top college athletes, as it happened, you know, Stanford's center. And he was always saying how sports are so great for life. And we also had people who came and practiced with us who'd never played a sport in their lives. But When you look at it and you think about your kids, what's good and bad for kids? Forget about sports for a moment, but how the sports prepare them or affect them for things later in life, positive and or negative.
So for me, I could speak from personal experience, and my son has excelled because of similar thought. But it's one of those things where if you want to get ahead, you're going to have to put in the time. Mm. And if you put in the time, it doesn't guarantee you that you're going to get ahead. So there's a lesson there. And you usually don't try to worry about the outcome is what I've learned. Mm-hmm. Is you worried about the prep and to put yourself in the right position to excel.
And do the best you can.
And do the best you can. Mm-hmm. And measure yourself against yourself. You know,
right.
Not others, but yourself.
Right.
That's why I love track and boxing and those individual
personal
sports.
Personal bests. Yeah.
And then I learned the ultimate lesson, and I pass this on to every kid, is the day I decided to quit football is probably the biggest regret I have ever made in my life. When I walked away from NMSU, that was a life lesson I hold today, and I have really dove in, you know, so many years after that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of turmoil going in my life, but what I learned was to step back, relax, don't act hastily, just quit the next day.
Yeah.
That old mentality.
Sleep on it.
Yeah. Quit the next day.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'm going to quit the next day and keep going and keep going. Yeah. So that is what I learned. And that has really molded me who I am today. That one moment that defined me.
Yeah.
It wasn't the end of the world, but it has defined me to help my kids, to help my business and all of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And team sports and individual sports, uniquely, they're different, but they uniquely have great things. Team sports, you got to work together. You know, if you don't work as a team, you're not going to win. You could have great talent, but if you don't play together as an individual, it's on you. You know, it's up to you. And so they both have really positive effects. One of our guests, Anita Maxwell, skipper, came on, and she said when she turned into the business part of her life away from the athletics, they were looking for the high-level athletes because they knew they goal-setting, they could take correction, they were quick learners, they worked together, all the positives, you know, and it helped her immensely.
Well, and I think one of the ways sports has really improved over the last, you know, 10, 15 years is exactly what you've been doing as an athletic trainer. Because I can remember the day when, you know, somebody comes off the field with a concussion and they give them the how many fingers treatment. Yeah. And as long as you guess right, you go back in.
Yeah, never say more than five.
Right.
Usually one
that's
hand.
That's gonna be a problem.
And you got about a 25% chance of getting it ready.
Exactly.
We kind of all knew that.
When I started, one of the things they taught was this upside-down pyramid. And the elite athletes, the professionals, the Olympics, they get the most care.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the people at the beginning, the rec league, the high school, the middle school, they get the least. And they're the ones that need it the most. Mm-hmm. And there was a huge push by our national organization to get every high school covered. It's still not done. Right. But it's better. It is better.
Yeah.
And those kids, even if they're not going on, you know, you don't have lifelong injuries and stuff. I introduce myself as an athletic trainer, and everybody goes, "Oh, my back or my knee."
Of course,
that comes with the job, but
but
those are old, you know, old war wounds kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's much better, but it still has a ways to go.
Right. And Walt, to expand a little bit more, is I would coach youth sports like fast pitch softball and track, and the parents would go, "Well, you got to coach more. It's their fourth year." I'm like, "No, I only coach kids for 3 years, and my philosophy is." They are going to have a new boss.
Yes.
They're going to have a new coach down the line, and they're not going to be able to have the same relationship that we built in those 3 years. They're going to have to be able to develop a new relationship and go through that struggle again, especially when you get to college or when you get to high school. What I see as a disservice is that parent that coaches all the way through, that coddles their kid, and they're kind of defeating the fact of letting them learn the trials and tribulations of that. Without going to jail, that's the best part about sports usually, right, is something really bad doesn't happen.
That's right.
And you get to make those mistakes and go from there. But Mike hit it on as far as working together as a team and as far as the other athletes and having respect and also schoolwork, being able to balance.
I've been on team I've involved with teams that were not the most talented, but they all bought in. They all had the vision and the goals the same, and it was so fun to watch those teams and succeed. And I've seen it a few times in my career, and those are some of my favorite teams, easily.
Can you talk about what have been some of your favorite interviews and guests that you've had so far? And is there any one or two people that you're really hoping to get or would like to get in the future?
Well, it took a while, but we really, really wanted Mary Henson.
Yeah, she was so good.
And it was right before the Boys and Girls Club breakfast, so it was, and just after the groundbreaking of the facility. So it was a good time, and our first ever radio interview on the phone. You know, we brought Lori in because Lori knows many of those things and helps Mom.
Yeah.
Through it, but that we laughed the most. I
it
think
it was fun. It was rollback history.
She could tell stories. Yeah, she just can tell stories, and she has this.
That was kind of the thing. Let my mom go, and it was great to hear the stories. My connection for that was my dad played for Lou in high school on the state championship team.
At
Cruces High. Yeah. That was kind of like going down memory alley for me.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, that was really You know, there's something out of each one of them, and I think one of my favorite things is when someone is really kind of nervous or they're not sure they even have a story to tell. And afterwards it was, hey, that was a lot of fun.
Yep.
We had a football player here that was kind of nervous about talking. And he said, you know, afterwards, it was like sitting in the living room talking to you guys on the couch.
Right.
You know, and so hopefully I had no idea what I was getting into, really. I mean, I've never had any experience doing any of this. And I've learned a lot. But just try to get out of their way and let them tell their story.
That's right.
That's pretty much
it. We kind of fly by night. We have tomorrow's guest. I have the next week's guest. Other than that, I don't have. I have people I want to get on, but I'm not going to say who until we know we're going to get
them. Right. And it's all about timing. I think there's certain times to get maybe some of the coaches in that have fall sports.
You know, sure. We have a unique situation where are you free on Thursday at 9? You know?
That's right.
A lot of people aren't.
That's right.
And so we will try to work around that. We have pre-recorded a couple of shows just to work around that.
Yeah.
I'd rather not do that. I love doing it live. It's spontaneous and you never don't know exactly what's going to happen. I'm kind of type A and I over-prepare. I do as much research as I can. And I want to have more than we're going to get to.
Yeah,
because I learned real quick. We had a couple where we ran out of questions before we ran out of time.
Yeah, that's never good.
You guys mirror Walt and myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I come in here with like 10 type pages,
right?
Sometimes more. You know, and I asking people about what happened to them in high school and asking when this happened instead of what did you think?
Walt comes in with a
handwritten notes, but does great.
Well, Brian is a perfect compliment to me because I do give him the list of questions I'd like to ask, but he's just a great listener and has fantastic follow-up questions, always.
Try to talk about what they love.
Yeah, that's
and,
that's
and
the
if
key.
I try to put it in perspective of coming from them, how do they feel?
Yep.
But you know what? It's bottom half of the hour,
so we got to let people know that you are listening to KTAL LP 101.5 FM in Las Cruces, and we are.
Wow, you've been doing that for a while. Look at that!
I still stumble over the LP.
You don't get to be the cop overnight. I mean,
okay, there we go. Oh, nice.
I still stumble over the LP half the time.
Yeah. And we were talking with Brian Cox and Mike O'Leary about their show, Mesilla Valley Sports, which have you reached your one-year anniversary yet?
We're a year and a half.
This will be
episode number, by my count, 79.
Yes.
Tomorrow will be episode 79. I don't know if I counted some of when we were unable to do the show.
Right.
We can't just play a regular show. Well, I don't want to, and our engineer Dean doesn't want to. So we find two shows that can go together. We take parts of the two.
Mm.
Okay. Last year, New Year's Eve, Christmas, and Thanksgiving were all on Thursdays. Well, we weren't going to be in the studio for any of those. So trying to remember the shows and say, hey, these two might go together. And he and I sit there and kind of, how much about this one and this one? And we put
well,
it
I'm
together.
Glad you mentioned Dean because the engineers, the producers don't get the credit, but they are part of the team as well.
Yeah. No, so
I'm
this novice. I have no idea. I've been a volunteer at the station for a few years, but it was always a behind-the-scenes guy.
Yeah.
You know, I loved music. That's what got me into KTAL. Mm-hmm. But but just helping wherever I could. Yeah. And I have no idea how to work a board.
I had to work a board and interview and all of that, and it was nuts. And
yeah.
I appreciate Dean like you wouldn't believe. Just sit there and focus on talking.
I did too at another radio station. And when we started here, I was in that small room that John Rosen is sitting in now engineering this, and I had to engineer, but I had to be looking at the computer, which mm-hmm. is on the wall directly opposite. I had to turn my back to my guests.
Ah.
You know, well, how did you feel when, you know, so-and-so died? And I'm looking away.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awkward.
I couldn't do it now. Nope. I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know.
No, there are a lot of unsung heroes at the station that make all the radio shows happen, especially the talk shows, I think.
Most of our music hosts, I think,
do not have
an extra person in there.
They just do it themselves.
Yeah, they do it themselves.
And it's their music, and they love it. And that's what I love about this station is that people have a passion, and you hear stuff that you don't hear anywhere else. My favorite thing is coming into our show and hearing a song I haven't heard in 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great song. It puts me in a great mood right now.
Exactly.
And the variety and the width and breadth.
So let me share my dream with you.
Okay.
Okay. Is it a nightmare or is
it's a dream.
Okay.
It's a dream. I would love for us to be able to do broadcasts of high school sports, play-by-play broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a possibility? What would we have to do?
From my current situation, I know that Jeff Matthews usually does the play-by-play, and that the Las Cruces Public Schools TV videos it.
Right.
And they were trying to do that together.
And Jeff is which radio station in town?
I don't know which radio station. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
But they do one game a week. Is that typically
they do
what
one
they
game
do?
A week? Yeah. And it is a logistical nightmare from my understanding. But they just got to the point where I think some of the kids were not showing up or got so many complaints that they didn't understand this was a learning platform for them.
Yeah, right,
that they just started voicing over Jeff's commentary over that.
I see.
So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe pick up a game that they're not covering.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I do know that at the beginning of this, the genesis of this show, Peter and I talked about one of the things I threw out was I was going to get little snippets from each of interviews from students to the local coaches. And we did that for a little while. It kind of just died off. But each of the four high schools do have a media area where kids are learning broadcasting.
Right.
And so there is some talent out there. Mm-hmm. Or there is some interest out there.
I don't know if it's practical or not. Right.
I think it takes a superstar from the Las Cruces Public Schools to really set it up and keep it running because Mike and I really can't go in there because we're not, you know, I haven't done the safe schools and all of that stuff. All the logistics you got to get to get into the school is a very big hurdle.
Yeah, I didn't even think about
that.
Yeah,
it took me 3 or 4 days when I first started working at the high school. I had to go through all that training, and it is quite a bit.
Every year.
Fingerprinted, background.
Every year.
Background.
My new in general, but tell us, what's it?
Well, there's just a lot of online training about appropriate behavior and rules and boundaries and all that stuff. And it was very similar to when I retired from the university, I worked at the hospital in the mornings, and I worked at the high school in the afternoons. And the hospital paid for that. And all four high schools had someone working for the hospital. Mm. At the time, it was a Mountain View High School. It still is, actually. That's all the high school athletic training staffs are two in this city. Each school has two, and one of them is an employee of Mountain View.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I'll name drop it. Denton Parks, when he was at Mountain View, started that program, and it was amazing. I mean, just factoring having one athletic trainer and having twice as many.
Yeah.
Because you got all these sports going on. You can only be one place.
Well, it really helped you service not just football, but all the Olympic sports.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah. So Albuquerque doesn't have that. Yeah. Most Albuquerque athletic training staffs are still one. Now, Texas is different. Some of the El Paso schools have three.
Right.
But That's Texas football.
Typically, what? How much medical training does? How close to a doctor does a trainer get?
Oh, not anywhere close, but it's an intense. It's really evolved. When I started, there were two paths to being certified, and you went through an accredited program, which there weren't very many in the States. And the other one was apprenticeship, and that's what I did. And so I had 1,600 hours or something like that. And we took classes, but most of it was hands-on and learning on the job.
Right.
That is way gone. Now it's actually entry-level master's.
Yeah.
So you get your undergraduate degree. Many do kinesiology, and then they get 2 years of graduate level. And it's very intense, you know, anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, all that kind of stuff.
So that's starting down the road.
Oh, yeah. No, when I go with a family member into a doctor's office, I usually know what they're talking about.
Yeah, right.
You know, I don't know the endocrine system like they do, but I got an outside idea of what's going on.
Sure. Now, you started in Seattle or?
Tacoma at high school. Okay. I was a basketball manager, and after my first year, they asked if I wanted to go to this camp to learn to be an athletic trainer, and I did that, and I worked under a high school teacher that was also had gone to a camp like that, and I'm so glad I didn't know what I didn't know back then, but I followed
always,
it into college.
That's always the way.
You didn't follow it for the big bucks?
Yeah. Most athletic trainers don't get paid very well, and our hours are horrible, but we do what we love.
Yeah.
Walt, he's first in, first out. As an athletic trainer, you got to be there before the athletes,
yep.
And you got to be there after the athletes. It's one of the toughest jobs in everything.
Well, when you think about it, that makes sense. Yep. You're the first person they see when they come in. And,
yeah.
So we're talking with Mike O'Leary and Brian Cox, who do a show on, I was going to say on Speak Up Las Cruces, but on KTALLP, Las Cruces.
From the Sierra Valley
Community
Sports
Radio.
Show.
Yeah. I can't remember, I'm old. I can't remember if we asked you yet whom you're having on tomorrow.
No. Actually, we have a fellow KTAL host, and it's Julie Lo Sanchez.
Right.
She is a multi-sport athlete. She's had a long career of sports in her life, and she's a multi-sport athlete at the upcoming Senior Olympic Games. We got a lot to talk about.
Well, I'll be listening.
It'll be fun.
And I know her well from working on stuff at the station.
Sure.
I had no clue that we both had deep sports interests.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, and we will be back in a minute or two with the director and a cast member of a new play that's opening, One Flea Spare, which I guess is supposed to sound like One Flea Square, but I don't know. It's a play I knew nothing about. But Bobby Masters, the director, will be here, along with Rachel Mays, who plays one of the roles.
Well, tune in tomorrow at 9. And thank you guys for having us on the
show. Thanks for coming, gentlemen.
It's been fun.
And thanks for doing the show. This is
we're enjoying it.
A huge addition to the radio station.
Great to see the Godfather
really
and the Capo.
Take care, guys.
Hi, this is Rob Greenbaum, voiceover artist, and this is KTAL-LP, 101.5 FM, Las Cruces Community Radio.
Views and opinions expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTAL Radio or any of its officials.
Yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
Hey, this is Loki, host of the program Without Borders. Every Friday from 5 to 7 p.m., I'm going to drop by, see what condition your condition is in.